Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. Can you think of a place on Earth that feels so mysterious that you can't help but wonder about it? For some people, it might be deep in the Amazon rainforest, where the jungle is so vast that scientists are still discovering new plants, animals, and insects. For others, it might be Antarctica, where icy landscapes and extreme conditions make it difficult for humans to explore every corner. For me, one of the most mysterious places on our planet is the ocean. Exploring it isn't easy. Humans can't breathe underwater, and the deeper you go, the more the water pressure increases until it becomes crushing. Even though people have used amazing technology like submersibles and underwater cameras to explore the depths, there's still so much that we don't know. Every time I learn about a new ocean creature, I'm reminded of just how many wonders are hidden beneath the waves. Today, we're going to learn about one of those surprising creatures, an animal you may have never heard of before, the oarfish.
A way that you can always identify an oarfish is that they're in a family of fishes that are all bound together by bright, just scarlet red fins and silvery bodies that, when the fish is still alive, actually looks a bit like a mirror. You can actually almost see your reflection in the skin. And the fish is completely scaleless. So it's just that beautiful silvery color with just a few little bony projections that run along the surface. So in terms of fishes, it's one of the most magnificent fish that you can see.
This is Misty Paig Tran. She's a biology professor, an expert on this fascinating creature called the oarfish. As you just heard, the oarfish is a cool silver and scarlet color, but I think its most impressive physical trait is its size.
This is a fish that usually here off of California when we get them, they're somewhere over around 10 feet. They actually can grow much larger, up to about 26 feet or so. They have that long, slender body, very similar to an eel, but they're actually unrelated completely.
Whoa, can you picture this long, skinny, eel-like fish? The average oarfish found near California is 10 feet long, about as long as a basketball hoop is tall. And then some can grow up to 26 feet long, which is about as long as a school bus. Misty says that it's hard to see oarfish in the wild because they live deep in the middle ocean, about 1,000 feet beneath the surface.
They're a fairly deep water fish. You know, divers aren't going to come across it just by going out and scuba diving. They're well below that. They're in a zone called the mesopelagic, where you used to think of fishes in that area that are those light up fishes, like angler fishes and hatchet fishes that you would see in videos like Finding Nemo.
Because they live so deep in the water, there's a lot that we don't know about oarfish. But Misty says that one of their most interesting traits is the way they move through the water. If oarfish look like eels, you might think that they would move like eels. But Misty says that they actually do something quite different.
They do look like eels, and there are a lot of fishes actually out there that sort of have that elongated body form. For a long time, we thought that they were going to move just like eels as well, in that kind of slithery, snake-like motion. But that's not actually what they do. They are capable of using that type of locomotion, for sure, but they usually use that only if they need to make a fast getaway. So they'll kind of slither very quickly away, and then they'll go back to their normal locomotion, which is basically they keep their bodies just kind of pencil straight, and then they move the top dorsal fin, which is a really delicate fin actually on this fish, and it's just made of several hundred bones that are working together, and it creates this nice S curve to that fin, and it runs all the way down from the head to the tail in this sort of almost like a fairy-like motion, you know, down the tail as they move. And they're really not very strong swimmers for the most part. So they mostly staying motionless in the water.
That's fascinating. So when an oarfish is floating through the water, they are totally straight, almost like a giant pencil. The only thing that moves is their bright red rippling dorsal fin that floats from their heads in a wave-like motion. Their head is usually higher than the end of their body, so they're moving through the water with their body almost at a diagonal. What an interesting way to swim around. Now, you might be wondering how a scientist like Misty became interested in such a specific fish. She says that her interest in oarfish began a long time ago, when she was a kid, like you.
It actually started in the third grade. As Californians, our field trip in Southern California is to go to the LA Natural History Museum. And so that museum is famous for its representation of animals from the Ice Age and dinosaurs. And none of that was the thing that stuck with me. What stuck with me was going into the Hall of Fishes and seeing the oarfish and the megamouth shark right next to each other in these long cases. And I was just absolutely thrilled by these amazing fish, and reading about it as a third grader and knowing that they were super rare and I had this opportunity to see them. And it was just like, you know, someday I want to be a marine biologist and I want to work with these two fishes. And actually, I've had the opportunity to work with both fishes now from the Natural History Museum. There couldn't be a bigger dream come true, at least in terms of my dreams, than to get five of these fish over the course of a couple years to study. It's absolutely just the highlight of my life, having gotten a chance to even put a finger on one.
Misty has studied several oarfish that were discovered after they died. When a fish is found, Misty is called to pick it up and learn from the fish by dissecting it, or cutting it up. It can be a complicated process to move, store, and dissect such a big fish. For instance, how do you even move an oarfish around?
That was actually one of the questions I had as I got the call. What am I going to do with this fish? And how am I going to transport it? And at the time, I actually put it in the back of my Nissan, you know, in a cooler, but in my car. Yeah, my husband wasn't really pleased with the smell.
Besides leaving a gross fish smell in the car, there's a lot that has to be planned out before you cut up a large, rare fish.
Not a one-day thing. It has to be planned out. And before you ever sort of slice and dice and look into it, you have to know exactly what you're going to do. So while it was whole, I had to get a CAT scan of this thing. And then I can start to peel off layers. And every layer of this fish is more interesting than the next. So the skin is interesting, the bones, the musculature is interesting, the digestive tract, the reproductive tract. It had 6-foot-long ovaries that we eventually looked at and sort of staged out. And so, I mean, pulling out these ovaries that are longer than I am tall and you know, all of this has to go into freezers and done in a way that we have basically armies of students there to help out, because when you have a fish and it's not frozen at the moment, then, you know, you're racing against time, especially in this hot Southern California weather, you know, the sun beating down on us. Because we're certainly not allowed to do this, the initial cutting of it inside of the lab. It has to all be done outside in open air where people aren't going to gag. It's definitely a process.
Wow, that's a lot of work. And it's all worth it because Misty and other scientists were able to learn some pretty interesting things about oarfish anatomy and what makes them so unique.
As a middle of the ocean fish, there's a very high pressure force. So you can imagine if you were to send down a styrofoam cup into that environment, as you go deeper, that cup will start to shrink and crush because of the pressure. And so these fishes at 1,000 feet or so are under quite a bit of pressure. And so how they counteract that so that their bones don't break is their bones actually become very unmineralized, meaning they don't have a whole lot of calcification in their bones like you or I would have. Instead, that mineralization is replaced by essentially water, and it creates this beautiful jelly-like bone. And so even when they strand, if I remove the bones, I can bend the bone basically all the way into a U-shape without it snapping or breaking like you would think of with, you know, a turkey wishbone after Thanksgiving.
Whoa, these fish have jelly bones? They just get weirder and weirder with every fact I learn. One final interesting oarfish detail is that there's a legend in Japan that if you see an oarfish near the shore, then there's going to be an earthquake. When we asked Misty about this legend, she said that there might be a little bit of truth to the idea.
Yeah, that's been a tale for a long time. And there's some truth to that, in that oarfishes are, again, not very strong swimmers. And so they are sort of helpless to changes in currents and things that can actually occur with geological events. So for example, if you have a tectonic movement, an earthquake that happens, if it's large enough, it can generate a tsunami, right? If it's a rather small earthquake, it can generate waves in the ocean that will rise up to the surface. And so if a fish is over a spot that has an earthquake, it will rise up to the surface with that rising water. And once an oar fish is at the surface, we basically believe that it can't get back down. It's not a strong enough swimmer to go down again. Mm-hmm. And so it's essentially going to die. But of course, we know about earthquakes and that many earthquakes, there's a foreshocks and aftershocks and many different earthquakes. So sometimes the idea of it predicting earthquakes could be that it's predicting the aftershocks that might be felt or the stronger earthquakes that are to come. So while it's unlikely that they are somehow sensing in the environment that there is an earthquake to come and they're rising to the surface to sort of warn us or warn others, there is probably a little bit of truth to the fact that they are bringing warning in a way unlike what the legends thought that was occurring.
That's super interesting. I'm so glad that Misty studies these fish and shares what she learns with people like you and me. Oarfish are fascinating creatures. They live deep in the ocean with long silver bodies, bright scarlet fins, and bones that are almost like jelly. Because they're so rarely seen, they've inspired all kinds of stories and legends. Learning about strange creatures like oarfish fills me with wonder. They're a great reminder that our world is full of amazing animals and that there are still mysteries waiting to be discovered.
Quick word here for you parents. I'm Marcus Smith, host of Constant Wonder, which is the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff that kids will love too, but you may be wanting more. Constant Wonder is on an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small. The kinds of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we think you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.